Welcome to A Bit of Insight with Lisa Mosby, your weekly dose of health, wealth, and everything else. Tune in for real talk, wise words, and soulful strategies for thriving in life and business.
Does what you wear give you confidence? Do you like quality, comfort, or maybe even custom clothes? Does it bring out the true you? Let's ask today's guest. Welcome to A Bit of Insight, where we talk about health, wealth, and everything else with successful women from around the world. I'm Lisa Mosby, your host of A Bit of Insight. Thank you so much for joining me today. Grab your coffee, turn up the volume, and let's talk today about left brain, right brain, the business creative tug of war. And we're talking about where creativity and business collide. Today's guest is Stacy Gonder, and she brings over 20 years of experience in designing and manufacturing custom dance and performance costumes. Stacy began as a professional dancer, and her passion led her to study costume design at the International Academy of Design. In 2001, she launched Flash Design Company, quickly gaining recognition for her bold and innovative approach to thematic costume design. And then, reinventing herself one more time in 2014, she expanded her vision with the House of Sass and Magic, a brand dedicated to one-of-a-kind, limited-edition pieces that celebrate individuality and self-expression. You know where the conversation's going today, folks. So please help me welcome Stacy. She has combined these two creative expressions of herself into one business, and it's now called Stacy G Custom Creations. And she's united the essence, which is what I love, how we don't have to do just one thing. It's all about who we are, how we express ourselves. That's the beauty of being an entrepreneur, being self-employed, and pouring into other people. So I'm going to stop talking and invite her in. Stacy, welcome. Thank you so much for being with me today. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful. You know, we came up with this idea because it really fits you. We all have creativity. I get that. My creative side would not be my strong side. My logic and processes, that's my strong suit. But with you, what you lead with creativity, and yet you run this amazing business. You have had all these accolades, recognition for the work that you've done. You know, how does that fusion in your business with business and creativity, how did you pull that together? Like, that's where I want to start, is really to try to understand how this works for you. Because we have a hugely creative audience. Many women are, but it's foreign to me. So I'm going to throw that out. But tell me more about this fusion of creativity and business.
Yeah, it's a really great question, because I often ask myself, like, how did I create this without a business background, without, you know, not that I don't have a strong logical brain, but it's not the place I go first. I go vision, I go, you know, what is possible, excitement, and then I dial it back. And I'm like, okay, wait, like, how do we get there? And I'm really, really fortunate that when I started Flash Design Company 25 years ago, it was a time when, like, you could, quote unquote, just do something. And, you know, I've often said, like, I had this vision where I was going to create costumes for competitive or recreational dancers. And, like, I didn't really think much about it. I just went ahead and did it. And it worked. And it was very, very simple. And, you know, as I reflect back, I think that's what has really worked, is keeping it simple. Where it's like, you know, I'm going to create this thing, you're going to pay me, and then we're both going to be happy.
We get in our head. We totally overcomplicate things. I'm in that place right now. There's been a lot of changes, and I'm so overcomplicating it. But you tuned into what it is that you love to do. You started as a professional dancer, so you filled a need that you probably experienced. And then because of that, because of your passion and commitment to it, success was almost inevitable. I mean, from where I'm sitting.
Yeah. And, you know, like, that's not to say, like, yes, I kept it simple. And as time has gone on and the business has grown and I've become more aware of, you know, let's call it business mindedness, I was like, oh, okay, it's And as I brought on staff and as I brought on different people to manage different parts of the business, I was like, oh, okay, like now I get to tune into what like corporate businesses do, you know, and find policies, procedures, systems to put in place that, again, I approach them really differently because I facilitate such a niche market, and it's a market that those sorts of things didn't exist. So again, like I was really, really fortunate that I could use my creativity to create systems and processes that were specific to this industry. Because it's not like I can go on the internet and say, like, what's the best way to run a custom costuming business for competitive and recreational dancers? Like, I mean, I could probably ask ChatGPT now, but but you know, 20 years ago or even 15 years ago, like that base knowledge wasn't there because the industry itself hadn't grown to a space where it was necessary. It was mostly home sewers. It was mostly like dance moms that had, you know, facilitated that need. Now, fast forward to the last probably, I'd say 10 or 15 years, as that industry has really grown and accessibility of the information that I'm talking about has become readily available to people, the thing that I do has become more and more popular and has become more and more of a business.
I talk to a lot of women who are kind of lost. You know, what should I do? What am I good at? How do I get started? What to this is kind of a two-part question. You can go where you want. What inspired you to turn that dance creativity, that energy into a business? I'm guessing it was a need. I assume that. I didn't ask you that beforehand. So what was the inspiration behind it? And then or was there a defining moment where you said, oh my gosh, the seam ripped out of the back of my pants? And I said, somebody needs to do better. I don't know what it would have been. But that it was, a lot of times for people who go in the medical field, the defining moment is they got sick or their mom got sick or somebody got sick. So I get it in that realm. I don't get it in yours. So tie it together for me, the inspiration or defining moment for you.
Yeah, there's been a couple of key moments along the way. The first key moment was like I was performing professionally and I was released from a contract really, really unexpectedly. And I was like, and I think I was 25, and I was like, oh, I don't know how to do, or at least I thought I didn't know how to do anything else. I had eat, breathed, and slept dance since I was, you know, really, really young. And so I decided to go back to school at that moment only because I had a conversation with somebody that I was training with, and I was like, what do I do? And I was like, I can't go work in an office. Like, that makes zero sense. Like, I was like, look at me. I can't, like, what am I thinking? And so she encouraged me to look into like stage management or theater or like something in that world. And I say this all the time when I'm asked this question, I really don't have a conscious memory of being like, costume design. I had never turned on a sewing machine. I had never drawn a sketch, like nothing. And yeah, I knew nothing. Like I was counting to eight, kicking my legs and spinning around, and that's what I knew.
Wow. And you knew the fit of costumes. You know what it felt like to put one on, what things looked good because you're looking in the mirror. So it wasn't obvious, but it was all there. All the pieces were there. And that's what, when people are coming up with their business, like I love travel. I've been to 23 countries. And then, things have shifted. The company that I was working for no longer offers an affiliate income. And so I was like, what am I going to do? I want to travel. I want to take people on group. I spent a month in Africa. I just got back this week and I want to take people on trips. So that's how these things get birthed. That's how our businesses get born, is an experience. And then a need gets filled and we put our passion and interest behind it. That's the creativity part. We get so caught up in doing it right. And I don't have an LLC and I don't have a bank account yet. I don't have any of those things, but I have Venmo and I can figure out how to get paid and I know how to book an airline ticket. I have the pieces. Do we have, is there a right or a wrong way? When we're looking at the right brain and the left brain, is there a right or a wrong way to do business? What do you think?
I don't think so. And there's a
No.
quote from Sarah Blakely from Spanx where she's like,
Thanks.
I didn't know any better to do it any other way. And it's like my story is very, very similar, where I was like, it didn't even occur to me that there would be a right way. I was just doing it the way that made sense in that time and in that space. And it was working. So why would I go looking for another way to do it? You know? And then Fast forward to 2014 when I decided to start the second brand, the House of Sass and Magic. There was another defining moment where I'd been involved in the electronic music scene here in Toronto for many, many, many years. And it was around the same time as the commercial festival boom, electronic music festival boom. And I was like, wait a minute, I know how to sew. I have a gap in revenue during the summer months because dance here in Canada is seasonal. And I have access again, I have access to this community. So why don't I put these things together and create something else? And so that's what I did. And I had these two brands running congruently to each other. And then cue the pandemic, which was the third and really, this is where like the business mind part started to really kick in because, you know, cue the pandemic and all of a sudden it was like, you know, the government was asking all these questions and like, you know, and I was considered non-essential. So like, again, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? What does this mean for my business? I know what it means for me personally, but what does this mean for my business? And so, you know, really combing through and deciding, looking at, you know, bottom lines and ROIs and like all of the things that I was like, oh,
Stuff. Yeah.
this is the stuff that makes my brain bleed. Like, I understand it intellectually, logically, and rationally. And like, God. And so that's when I started to really form another community around me of people to support in the things that like I understand, but I don't necessarily want to do. And I'm not the best person for it. So,
Let's dive into that. You know, when the creative and the business logic are at odds, maybe that's the wrong word. Maybe it's not at odds, but I'm going to use that word because to me that's how I see it. They're at odds. How do you navigate that tension? What you said you put people around you because you knew it wasn't your skill set. What did that look like? Like I have a VA who does Instagram and social media, even though I coach and I teach on it. She does it because it's just not my thing.
one human being, there's only so many hours in the day, you
Yeah.
know. You know, my staff and I, we joke about this and I say it out loud all the time. I'm like, just hold on a second, business Stacy and creative Stacy have to have a conversation right now. Like, because if I try to have the two coexist, it's like it literally is different parts of your brain that are not scientifically able to operate simultaneously. And so like it like different parts of your brain are activated. So like I really do have to step into one and or into the other and then have a conversation amongst the two. So it's like literally like it's an internal dialogue and then being okay, so is this something that I can learn to do myself? Is it conducive to productivity for me to learn it and execute it myself? Or do I get a greater ROI, whether that's energetically or whether that's actually money, to have somebody else do it? And that's really what, like, that's really my formula for figuring that out. Cause like, you know, different like business coaching will tell you, like, figure out the things that you do not like doing, figure out the things that like are not cost effective for you to do and hand them off. And so, you know, after the pandemic, there was like a variation of that. So I was like, okay, well, some of these things I actually have to do in order to facilitate, you know, creating revenue and things like that based on, you know, what we had struggled with during the pandemic. And then there was other things where I was like, well, I get to invest in that in order to take me to the next space and to get out of the conundrum that the pandemic left us in.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was really like, there's some really tough conversations because, and also admitting to myself that there are things that I don't know how to do because it has come so readily and easily to me over the years. I'm like, ooh, maybe that's not gonna work anymore. And like reconciling that and like surrendering to it and being like, okay, let's call in somebody else here.
I love the phrase, just because I can doesn't mean I should. You know, just because I know how to run my business and I know how to do all of the pieces of it doesn't mean I should. You know, if I pay somebody else to mow the lawn, how much I get an hour and a half back? What is my hourly wage versus what do I have to pay somebody to do the lawn? You know, when you're talking about ROI, how do we weigh that? How do we weigh the pros and the cons? And how much of my energy does it suck down for me to go mow? If I had to mow the lawn, then I'd have to have a nap and I'd have to relax and then I'd be hot. And then, oh, wait, now I have to shower and I get ready for the day. It's like, no, I take all of that out of it. Somebody else does the lawn and I keep going doing what I'm doing. So that makes perfect sense to me. How do you handle the pressure of monetizing? your creativity without losing the passion for it. Because I love building my websites. I love the creative aspect for me. But then people are like, can I hire you to do mine? And that just, it's like sucks the life out of me. That's not my skill set.
Yeah, that's a really great question because I'm in the midst of another called another reinvention where I'm now taking all of my knowledge with costuming and clothing as well as I'm heavily involved in transformational mindset leadership courses. And so taking those two worlds and bringing them together and creating workshops and style coaching and things like that with it. And I'm in this space where the product price is based on the value that I bring. It's not like a tangible thing. Like it's not a pair of pants that is like, oh yeah, it makes sense that these pants are X dollars. And so really tapping into
Your
like
worth.
your
What am
worth,
I? What am I worth? What's the value?
what value do I bring? What value does the years and years of education into your, like, how many lawns have I mowed in order to get to this place where I'm like, hey, this is how you do it. And this is how
You
you.
collapse time for people. What you're doing is collapse. It's like you don't have to do the 20 years. I did that. I paid the dues. I'm going to collapse time, and that collapse of 20 years is worth something. What would you pay to have 20 years of your life back? That's the value of this course if you want to be in this industry. And that can be a really big number, and people don't understand where that number comes from. It's been your life's work. You've paid with time, your life, which is the most valuable commodity we all have. We can always make more money, but we can't get any more time. We get what we get, and we don't know that number. So yeah, that's
You know,
interesting.
part of what I'm up to also is educating people and informing people that, you know, the value of artistic and creativity, because I think historically we're so accustomed to like the starving artist mindset and that like art is just there for us to consume without having a cost to it. Versus like, you know, somebody who goes to med school, well, that makes sense. They're going to save my life. They're going to cure me of whatever thing. And they invested a whole bunch of time, energy, and money into their education. And there are creative people out there, like two parts to this, that A, have invested a lot of time, energy, and money into an education to learn the actual skill, and or they're just born with it. And so how incredible is that? And how priceless is they are born on this planet with something that some of us will never, ever, ever have the ability to do, yet we're unwilling to allow that to be worth something. And that's really where I go with it, where I'm like, well, you're willing to pay your, I don't know, your accountant a kabillion dollars because they have done XYZ thing and can do XYZ thing for you and create value in your life. And so can we as creative people. And so I think it also comes back to the value that we put on what art and creativity is in contribution to people's lives. Like, what does it actually make for you?
And there's so many people on the planet now that have that creative side. They do see the value. They get, what we've lost by not having art classes in school for kids or band or choir or those things that allow creative expression. We're seeing the trickle-down effect of the problems that taking creativity out of society has caused. So, the value is definitely there, but you're right. How do we put a number on it? And I think or I've seen that many business women struggle with that, whether they're in a creative business or whether they build websites or they do something logical for people. It comes so naturally for women, and we pour into and gift our talents to folks, and we don't often charge what the value is or charge what we are worth in that process of collapsing time for somebody else. Let me ask you. This is this one, not to put you on the spot, but I'm going to put you on the spot. What's a mistake that you made in business that taught you a valuable lesson? I'm always curious about that. I know I can tell you mine if you throw the question back at me, but I want to know what's a mistake that you made in business that taught you a valuable lesson?
I mean, there's been many.
There is, yes. But I have one that stands out, one that is a thorn in my side, and it happened 30 years ago.
Yeah, I would say I am saying that Somebody said a phrase to me recently, and I had never heard it before. And I was like, ooh, that one sticks. Hire slow, fire fast. And yeah, I brought people on that in the moment. In the moment, I knew that they weren't the right fit, but I needed butts in seats. And so I did it anyways. And yeah, and I've paid prices for that in terms like my reputation and monetary and things like that. And I think, going back to this piece about like women in business and us pouring into, there's this element where like I can and I want to I care and I want to develop people and I'm like, it's okay, like we'll get there. And I'm like, but my bottom line is suffering. At what cost am I paying and is the business paying in order to facilitate somebody else's growth? And that for me is a larger struggle than the like, the creativity versus business brain. It's like the human being and my care for humanity and business, that's the like, yeah.
It's interesting that you say that. Somebody shared with me once that the best thing that you can do for somebody is to fire them. Because if they don't fit into your organization and they're not a good fit in your butts and chairs, you want them to be in a place where that will serve them. And it doesn't, when you fire them, it doesn't mean they can't ever come back. It's like you're not ready for what we have to offer. And it's time, like, I'm going to push you out of the nest and I want you to go fly and always know that I got your back. You can always come back to me. And so that was the premise. I started in business when I was 18, have been an entrepreneur 40 years. And so that we didn't lose a lot of people, but we did have to fire people. And the other conscious thing that we thought about as owners, my husband, I was married at the time, was that we're not just feeding the mouths of the employees, we're feeding their spouses, their children, and who knows how many, how we're affecting their community. So it was really, really, really hard to let people go the longer they stayed. If they didn't fit and they didn't work out, we need to let them go right away. We need to kick the little birdie out of the nest and let them find their place or find the skill set that would best serve our company. So that's a great lesson. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it happened twice. And so the third time I'm like, this is not happening. I'm like, okay, universe, I see you, universe.
But it really can be a mindset about it, right? It doesn't have to be like you're being mean to somebody. You're actually blessing them by letting them go and maybe collect unemployment until they can figure it out, or letting them go find that right, the best next step for their life. Have you ever sacrificed creative freedom for profitability? I mean, that's kind of when you're hiring employees, you said you kind of sacrificed because you want to pour into them and you wanted to bring them along. Have you ever sacrificed creativity for profitability?
Absolutely. I have an uncanny ability to see very large visions. And my famous saying here in the studio is they're like, I don't know, it needs something. I'm like, it needs more. It always needs more. And having to like dial it back to fit into client budgets or profitability or even to make sure that we don't price ourselves out of the market. Like there's an element of constraint there that sometimes I feel really like I feel a type of way about it. So I'm like, oh, it would be just so cool if we could do XYZ things, and then I'm like, but we can't because they don't have the budget for it, or we can't because then it takes us into a part of our market that in Canada is very limited. There's three very distinct streams in the competitive dance industry, and we service kind of the mid-range and which is also getting more and more challenging to facilitate given where we're at in the financial climate in North America in general. So, most definitely, because I just want to make big, pretty, bold things all the time.
But how do you stay innovative in a world where creativity is often commodified? You have to get paid. You have to keep the doors open. You have to keep paying your staff and your people and providing what the buyers want. But again, how do we stay creative while we're trying to commodify that creativity.
Yeah, and so I had a whole brand new team this season, and I really chatted with them about it, and finding and creating the creativity within those constraints. So how do we get creative about creating something that's super awesome and has the client happy and feeling like they're like at a, how did my dad put it? Champagne taste on a beer budget, you know? So
Yes. Yeah.
how do we create that sensation? Because that's really what people are buying. They're buying the feeling. And so how do, like, let's get creative about those ways, both in techniques, both in production processes, and in the actual designs. And I think over the last, probably the last two seasons for sure, that's something that I've really dove deeper into in terms of like getting creative with our processes to facilitate the needs of our clients. Because like making big, bold, pretty things, like that's super easy, you know? Like, that's super easy for me. But really getting granular about how do we serve in a way that makes everybody happy, and I don't feel like I'm not being creative at all.
Yeah, my brain is just on fire with that. I think of those TV shows where people would go buy stuff at garage sales and then they would fix them up and flip them around. You know, where do you source from? Are you getting things from thrift shops or hand-me-downs or donations? And then how do you repurpose those things is a way to save money. So every business has that opportunity to be creative in how do they manage their budgets? What are your expenses? You know, you don't have to let things stop you. Sometimes you need to pour into the creativity to find a way, find a cheaper way, a budget-friendly way, another way. So that was kind of where my brain was going as you were talking about that. It's like firing on, increase the creativity. We oftentimes take out the creativity, and I think it might be the wrong direction.
Yeah, and something's pinging me right now is, and I'm using my accountant as an example a lot today, but I often say like there's a creativity in numbers. And so there's a I think we have this what's the word? Like we put creativity within confines actually, where it's like it's got to be artistic. It's got to be painting or, designing clothes or whatever, but there's creativity in everything. And again, I have this I don't even know. It just comes really naturally to me to find opportunities to create where I'm like, oh, but wait, here's an opening to do something different. And like, and finding the nuances within that to create something new and different, whether that's in your accounting, whether that's in what in the actual way you create the thing that you sell, whether that's in the way that your brain, processes things, shifting your perspective to look at things differently, inviting your staff into the conversation because maybe they have ideas that you've never even considered. Like they're the ones that sit there and do the thing all day, right? And I'm like, and I invite them all the time. I'm like, listen, I've been doing this a long time, so maybe I'm too close to it. Maybe there's something that you see that I haven't even considered. And then we like, we catapult from there. And so I think like opening up our own dialogues around what we consider creativity. Because like I look at my books, I'm like, I never would have thought of like putting this and this and this and this in these categories, but my bookkeeper does.
We can open up our creative sides, not just in design or making something, but even managing our businesses, managing our finances, managing our marketing, managing our technology, all of those things. They lead or open the door for, give us opportunity to be creative in business. I love that. You know, if you could give your younger self one piece of advice about merging creativity and business, merging them together, like going back, what piece of advice would you give yourself? Because we're going to share that with the audience.
Do it sooner.
Do it sooner. Oh my God, there was no hesitation. I didn't even get the question out of my mouth.
Sooner. Do it sooner and like ask somebody else. I also, full disclosure, I'm super stubborn. And so I was like, no, like I'm gonna do it my way. And then again, like it took the world literally stopping for me to be like, ooh. Maybe there's a different way. Maybe there's somebody else out there that can show me a different way, or at least point me in a direction, or and work in tandem with me to still continue creating my vision, because like that didn't ever change. And my vision will withstand the redesign of whatever I'm doing. And so who else gets to come here to support me in continuing to move forward? Yeah, do it soon. Do it as soon as you can.
Any other advice for the audience today? Any other advice?
Support. Support, support, support. Like invite people in, because that's the other thing that I wish I had have done sooner. And listen to your intuition. I said this to somebody recently that we were on a conversation, and I think we as women are sometimes conditioned and sometimes dismissed with our intuition, that it's like, oh, that's just women's intuition. And it's like, listen, it has something to, you may not know what it's telling you, but it's telling us something, and we get to follow that. Because I think there's creativity in, like, creativity lives in there for sure. Yeah, and don't ever, this is my famous last line. Don't ever let anybody tell you no.
Oh, don't take no for an answer, right? I mean, I think about that energy. It's energy. When you say intuition, it's energy, and we're all connected. And sometimes what we call intuition is just observation. We're observing and calculating, and we're seeing gaps in things. We're seeing where a need needs to be filled. I mean, that's exactly how you started your business, is there was a need, and there was nobody out there doing it. And now it's an entire industry that spans the globe. But you were on the forefront of that, because was it intuition, or did you just see? Our brains are constantly working. We're observing, we're noticing things. And that's part of that creative element. When we just push it away and we don't allow that to grow within us, we're stifling our creativity, we're stifling opportunity, we're stifling our businesses, all of those pieces. So, intuition, listen.
Yeah, be the listening. It's like, and I just said this to somebody this morning, like, maybe it's just this easy. It's super cliche that they, whoever they are, tell us that everything we need lives inside of ourselves. All the answers, everything that we want, everything that we need is right here within ourselves. And so, like, maybe it's just as easy as trusting and listening to yourself and following that intuition and following that energy source. And to your point, observing what's around you and moving towards the thing that you see possible.
Yeah. And live in joy. If you do it all with joy from a heart-centered space, that love space, things might just work out for our good. Yeah. Well, I think we'll leave it there. How do people find you? Who is your ideal client? Who do you want to be talking to these days? Let the audience know who that is, and then where people can get in touch with you.
Yeah, for sure. So, two parts. If you're into competitive dance, any kind of dance studio, private sector dance studio that has children competing in jazz, tap, ballet, hip hop, musical theater, that sort of nature, we're your peeps to help you with custom costuming. If you are stuck in a space where you are wanting to express yourself creatively with your clothing, and you feel like your inside self and your outside self don't necessarily match each other, we're hosting Unleash Your Magic Workshop June 5th. And that is style coaching and transformational mindset to unleash whatever lives inside of you, so that whatever stage it is that you have in your life. So, somebody like yourself, Lisa, who is on podcasts and things like that, that's your stage.
Yeah.
So we're here to coach you into having that be something that is readily available for you. And you can find that at www.bystacyg.com and follow along on Insta at by the Stacey G.
Beautiful. All right. There were a lot of nuggets in here, you guys. You better go back and listen to this podcast again. We were both on fire. So thank you so much for your time today. It was awesome. I looked down, I was like, wow, we are at our 30-minute mark already. And it felt like 2 minutes. So what a great conversation. And come on back next week. I will dig out another guest. There are so many amazing women in this world, and I want you to meet every single one of them, or as many as I can have on my podcast. So come on back, folks. And if I can be of any service to you in your social media marketing and promoting your business online, reach out. Let me know. I'd be happy to help. Thanks, everybody. Bye.